Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. I am so excited today to be able to interview Bridget Gabriel, who is the founder and chairman of Act for America, the largest grassroots anti-terrorism organization in America. And I want to talk to her today about how you can be involved. So let me start by welcoming you and thank you for doing this podcast.
Thank you, Steve. I'm delighted and honored to be with you.
Well, right up front, I want to tell my listeners that we are so excited about your new book that we're going to be able to publish. We're very honored for that. It's called Rise, and it's coming out on September 11th, which is a significant date. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story, and then let's talk about how the average Christian person that's concerned but doesn't know what to do and assumes that somebody else will do something, how they can be involved.
Well, my life is a testimony of what happens when people turn a blind eye to evil, thinking, it doesn't affect me, it's over there, who cares what happens over there? I'm so passionate about national security and fighting terrorism because of what happened to my life. I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. We were a Christian society based on Judeo-Christian values. We were open-minded, fair, tolerant, multicultural. We had open arms. We welcomed our neighbors, anybody who wanted to come into the country. Lebanon was the only country to accept three waves of Palestinian refugees when they were driven out, even out of Islamic lands who didn't want to have anything to do with them. We took them in. Beirut became known as Paris of the Middle East, the banking capital of the Middle East. Unfortunately, all that changed by the time I was 10 years old. With the influx of the Palestinians into Lebanon and their hatred towards Israel and wanting to basically use Lebanon to create a base from which to fight the Jews, kill them and throw them into the sea, they were able to set up shop in Lebanon using our democracy, our open-mindedness, our fairness and tolerance to do exactly that, fight Israel. The war started when I was 10 years old. My 9/11 happened to me when I was 10 years old, when radical Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down and burying me under the rubble wounded. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months. And as I laid in a hospital bed, going from one surgery to another, you know, pain as a child, you know, uncomfortable, I would always ask my daddy, why did they do this to us? My father would tell me, because we are Christians, the Muslims consider us infidels and they want to kill us. So I learned very early on, at the age of 10 years old, that I am wanted dead simply because I was born into the Christian faith and lived in a Christian town. Whether I practiced my religion or not, it was irrelevant in my enemy's eyes. I belonged to that group, the Christian faith. We ended up leaving the hospital and coming home, but my home was no longer the home I left. We ended up living in an 8x10 bomb shelter underground. We didn't have any electricity. We didn't have any water, very little food. We would crawl out of our bomb shelter under the bombs and dig out different dandelions and different things that grew out of our bomb shelter because it was the only greenery we had to eat. To get some water, we would crawl in a ditch to a nearby spring because we were surrounded by Islamic snipers shooting at us just to get a drink of water. And every time before we left, we would say our last goodbyes because we did not know if we're going to come back alive or dead. I remember eating dried food that Caritas would send to us, like chickpeas. And I remember my job in the bomb shelter, my mother would soak the chickpeas all night. And my job was to break the chickpea in half and with a needle pull out the bugs. Every chickpea had a bug so we can eat the chickpeas. And this became my existence. My father was a retired businessman, a successful businessman. We went from, you know, going to private schools, being driven by a chauffeur and having maids in our home to literally eating grass to live. And this became my life for 7 years of my life, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth.
And then you were able, over a few years period, end up in America. How old were you when you moved over to America? And did you think you were leaving all that behind you?
I ended up coming to America through Israel. I moved to Israel in 1984, and I worked there as news anchor for World News. And that's where I met an American war correspondent. And we got married, and I came to the United States. I came here in April 1989. And so that's how I ended up in America. And I thought I left all the crazies behind. Nothing's going to happen here. And September 11th changed all that for me. September 11th made me realize that the crazies I left behind have come here. Up to that point, my husband and I had started a television production company. We had two children. We were literally living the American dream. I worked 6 months. I played with the kids for another 6 months. We were living the American dream. When September 11th happened, it was a defining moment for me. It was a defining moment for our country. September 11th changed our lives, how we live, everything, how we listen to the radio, how we watch television, how we travel. I mean, how many people listening to us right now have traveled in the last month and have had to go through airports, TSA, security lines, etc.? For me, I remember on September 11th watching television, crying like we all did, just feeling devastated, frustrated, angry. I remember watching images of the World Trade Center tumble down, played again and again. I remember hearing parents calling for their children's names. And I could hear my parents calling my name. You could see the smoke on the screen. I could smell the smoke because I lived it. I smelled it. I knew what these people were going through. My daughter came home. I have two children, and my daughters came home and they started watching TV with me. And my youngest one looks at me and she says, "Mommy, why did they do this to us?" And I found myself looking into my daughter's eyes and repeating to her exactly what my father said to me. They hate us because they consider us infidels and they want to kill us. It was such an eye-opener for me because I realized here I am looking at my daughter's eyes, saying the same thing to her that my daddy said to me. We were two generations apart. I was a young Lebanese girl. She's a young American girl. I spoke Arabic. She speaks English. 8,000 miles away, 30 years apart. And I found myself saying the same thing to her. That day was my defining moment. That day I vowed that I will do everything I can to make sure that my daughter will never ever have to look into her child's eyes and repeat to him or to her what my father said to me and what I had to say to her. That day I was born again as an activist. So I laid on my couch. September 11th happened on a Tuesday. So until Sunday, for 5 days, I laid on my couch devastated, thinking, what can I do to make a difference? And I decided I'm going to start an organization, and I'm going to travel, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to tell people about the threat of radical Islam to world peace and our national security. Because I have seen what happened to my country, Lebanon, and what's happening right now all over the world. And I started speaking and traveling, and I would speak to groups small and large, from small groups, you know, of 7-10 people to a large group of 10,000 in some of these mega churches. And one question kept coming up all the time. What can I do? No matter where I spoke, no matter what state, what church, what group, one question I could always count on. What can I do? Give me something to do. People were starting to learn information, but were frustrated because they didn't have the tools to make a difference. And I realized we can educate until the cows come home. Nothing is going to change. We're not lacking education. You go to Google right now and you type in radical Islam, national security, Islam. You get 60,000 pages. It's not that we are lacking information. It is that we are lacking what to do, activism. And I learned very quickly after 6 years of doing this that education is important, but education by itself is not sufficient. Education must be coupled with action. And that's when I launched Act for America, our lobbying arm, our 501c4 arm, to basically mobilize and set up chapters nationwide for people to become engaged and become a voice affecting their community and our nation. And I'm proud to tell you that today, Act for America is the largest national security grassroots organization in the country. We have almost 1 million members. We have 1,000 chapters nationwide. We have passed 100 bills on state and federal level, all dealing with national security. And I look forward to bigger and greater things. And through our book that we're doing together, Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedoms, I am hoping that a lot of people are going to say, what is my purpose? What is my destiny? What did God put on my heart to do to make a difference for my country? Not only to be educated, but to actually talk to my friends about it and be mobilized and really create a movement that will help us stand up in defense of our values.
Let's talk about how people can get involved. Now, you mentioned your book, of course, that's a good way to be involved. But I know you're having a conference in early September. Tell us about it and how people can be involved and even how they could start a chapter in their own area. After you spoke to my staff, one of our staff members said, how can we start a chapter right here in our town? And I know that a lot of people, as they're stirred up and wanting to do something, just talk to us about it.
This is what I love about my job. I get to meet patriotic people, God-loving people all over the country who just want to make a difference, who just want to preserve America in the way which our founding fathers created it for us. We want to preserve the America that they gave us. That's the least we can do to pass on for our children. And, you know, I always tell people, you never really own freedom. You only preserve it for the next generation. So I'm inspired when I travel and I hear people say, what can I do? I want to start a chapter. I want to become involved with Act for America. Great. Go to actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, and sign up to start a chapter. Become a chapter president. We will train you. We will hold your hand. We will send you activism training. We will teach you how to set up your chapter, how to recruit your friends, how to have your first meeting. We have training. We have monthly conference calls with our chapters. We have calls with our people to know what to do, who to talk to, how to call elected officials about bills. So we will train you. All you have to do is go to our website, actforamerica.org, and sign up to become a chapter president. That's how you get involved with the chapters. As for our conference, we have an annual national conference coming up September, the day after Labor Day, September 4th and 5th, in Washington, D.C. And the conference is also titled Rise. We want people to join us. We want people to go to Washington, D.C., vote with your feet. It's not enough to sit at home and say, oh, I'm praying about it. I'm going to read my Bible about it, that God will make a difference for the country. God needs our prayer, and we need to pray together as a body of Christ, but God uses his people as instruments of change. Ask yourself today, what am I doing to be used as an instrument of change for our country, to preserve our Judeo-Christian values? America is a beacon of light to the world, and we need to do something to protect America from the fate that's happening now to Europe. When you look at what's happening in Europe, when you look what's happening in the rest of the world, America is the last man standing. We're so excited for our national conference. We want people to join us. For more information, go to our website and register for the national conference. Actually, we have our early bird special right now going on until April. So we want people to register, sign up. We're going to have at least 10 elected officials are already signed out, congressmen and senators, to speak at the national conference. It's going to be the most amazing experience. And if I may add one thing, Steve, I was looking at the pictures of the anti-gun rally in Washington, D.C. recently, and it was hundreds of thousands of people. These people took the time to get on a plane, to get on a bus, to drive with vans, to all organize, to make it to Washington, D.C., to make a very loud noise for our elected officials to hear, to say, we are here because we're taking a stand. It's time that people who love this country, who want to preserve America's Judeo-Christian values and freedoms, to come together in Washington, D.C. in September. It's 2 months before the election. It'll be a great motivational, uplifting, motivational conference so we can come together and make a difference for the country.
That's so important. And you make such a good point about this rally and many others. It seems like the people on the other side are willing to get involved, like you said. And here's something that people can do. You know, most people can afford an airplane ticket and a hotel room.
Right.
Washington's a wonderful place to visit. A lot of people have never been there. I think this is a great opportunity, and I just encourage people to make plans to be at the RISE conference the day after Labor Day. And tell us once more as we wrap this up, the website. And the good thing about a podcast is you can stop it and rewind it if you need to write down this information.
Oh, fantastic. Well, one thing I want to add, 2% of the passionate will always rule the 98% of the indifferent. Right now, the left is very organized and passionate, and we need to mobilize those who love America. Go to our website, actforamerica.org, and sign up to join us at our national conference. We named the organization Act for America, not Think About America, not Wish for America, not Hope for America, not Pray for America, but Act for America. Go to actforamerica.org and join us.
This has been so interesting. Thank you for being on this podcast. And thank you to my listeners for tuning in today to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Regent University is one of the fastest growing universities in the nation, experiencing 21% growth from summer 2016 to summer 2017. This fully accredited university offers associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees within an innovative learning environment that includes the option of enrolling solely on campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, 100% online, or using a blend of both. Since its establishment in 1978, Regent has equipped 23,000 alumni from 125 countries to become accomplished professionals. Guided by a mission of Christian leadership to change the world, the school prepares students with the knowledge to excel and the faith to live with purpose. To learn more or request information, visit www.learn.regent.edu. That's www.learn.regent.edu.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.